the book of Proverbs. I got a request the other day. It's been a couple of weeks ago. It said, explain this chapter to me. And when I saw it, I was busy. I never got to it. But I thought, well, if one had a question, then it may be more than that. The Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, is a great collection, and that's what it is. You know, we say things like, an apple a day keeps a doctor away. Well, if that had been around in Solomon's day, he'd have thrown it in here. Right? Those are the kind of ideas. It's just practical daily living, you know, counsel and wisdom that Solomon had just said, let's put all that in one book and let's share it with people. You notice the last two chapters are actually letters from other kings, and they are titled so. But there's one for each day of the month. I always say, you know, I know there's some 30 days, some 31 days, but there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. And if you read one each day, it just kind of helps us ready our minds and wisdom and practical counsel for the day. Now, that shouldn't be our only daily reading, but it'd be good to read one each day, which, you know, today being the 16th, we'd be in chapter 16. But since this is the one that was asked about, we'll cover this one. And it's not a normal, you know, kind of preaching as we go through this. It's kind of all over, and we'll pull the thoughts that are together. Because you can take all of the Proverbs, all of the chapters, and there are the same ideas repeated over and over again in different places. He says in verse 1, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. You know, alcohol is the enemy. Alcohol is a depressant. People think about forgetting their troubles and trying to get their lives to be happier. But there is a tipping point with alcohol where it is a depressant, and it brings them down, not up, but down. There's, of course, a little point at which it kind of just sets you free from your cares. But in the end, it is a mocker, and it is a life-changing influence. Think of all the people who are in prison tonight because of alcohol. Think of all the families that have been destroyed because of alcohol. All the children that their homes were broken and many of them taken away and placed with relatives or in foster care or other families because of alcohol. The lives that have been taken, the people that are no longer with us because of alcohol. The medical problems because of alcohol. There's a big problem. I still laugh at the fact that I said on a Sunday morning, if the church would stop buying alcohol, the companies would go out of business. And then Bud Light that week tried to prove me right. And they're doing a pretty good job from what I'm reading. But, you know, they kind of kick themselves. But, guys, that's the kind of stuff that their ideas don't match our ideas. Their lives don't match our lives. We should not be supporting that industry at all. And Solomon says, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. So, verse 2, the fear of the king is as the roaring of a lion. Whoso provoketh him to anger sinneth against his own soul. And so what Solomon is telling us is that when we provoke anger in authorities, it's dangerous. It's bad for us. You know, how many of us ever had a boss that we might not have necessarily liked, but we knew that if we pushed the wrong buttons, we could lose our jobs or at least cause ourselves a lot of problems? And so, excuse me, there's no reason what Solomon's saying, that fear that we have about the king, that's like the warning that the lion gives when he roars. Now look, that's a good thing, to be afraid of authority, to have a reverence for authority. And so he says, if you provoke him to anger, you sin against yourself. Or what we might say is your own fault. All right, you did this to yourself. Verse 3, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife. To walk away from an argument or a fight is honorable. That's what Solomon says. Walk away from, just walk away. It's honorable. And we say, oh, look, he's chicken. He walked away. No, it's honorable. Get out of it. How many times have we seen a fight over nothing that turned into somebody end up going to jail or prison or somebody dying or being hurt. Over what? You know, we see these crazy reports of somebody getting stabbed over a cheeseburger. You know, that kind of crazy stuff. And it is. I mean, it's an honor to cease from strife, to just walk away. But every fool will be meddling. And you recall, I always say, why I'm so happy is I know how to mind my own business. Listen, I can hear your problem. I want to hear your burden. But I also understand that I can't fix everybody's problems. And so I've got to be able to let you vent. But at the same time, it's got to be your responsibility to fix those situations. And I might counsel and give some direction, but in the end, I don't have any obligation in that. I don't meddle in that. I don't put myself in other people's business. And sometimes I feel like I should, and I have to remind myself that's meddling. Look at what he says in verse number 19. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets, always talking. And eventually they're going to tell something they shouldn't. Men asked me last night, what's for supper? I said, it's a secret. He said, no, it's not. I said, I know it, and you don't. That makes it a secret. And that's how it works. Verse 19, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Somebody's always talking. Just try to stay away from people like that. Verse 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. You see, Solomon didn't say he didn't plow because it was cold. He said he didn't plow because he was lazy. He blamed the cold. But he didn't plow because he was lazy. And we can always find an excuse, can't we? Therefore shall he beg in the harvest and have nothing. Why? Well, because it was cold that day. I didn't want to go to work. And that's one of the things that I'm trying to make sure that my children understand is that we have to do things we don't like to do. We don't want to do. It doesn't feel good, but we still have to do it. It's part of life. And so just because it's cold doesn't mean you can't go to work. And they'll say, well, why do you have to go to work? I said, because I have a job, because I have responsibilities. And people, you know, I know children have to learn that. They don't appreciate that all the time. But it's important for us to remember that we have responsibilities. Look at verse 13. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. We kind of joke about that, saying, you know, don't want to get up and go to work in the morning. But that's what he's saying. You know, if you love sleep too much, and I won't ask you if you love sleep. There's some people just love, they'd sleep all day. They love sleep as recreation. They love sleep. Any chance they get, they want to sleep. And I don't mean because they have some kind of depression. I mean they just love sleep. But he says, if we love sleep, then we're going to miss out. And we're going to have trouble. And we're not going to be satisfied. He even says here, we're going to come to poverty. Verse 5, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. And so we look at that. There have been people in our lives who have given us strong counsel, haven't they? All the way up. When we were little, our parents, our grandparents, our teachers and coaches and adults around us would give us counsel, and all that counsel went in and it was filed away. And so he says the counsel, verse 5, in the heart of a man is like deep water. It's there. There's a lot of it. But what happens to it? He said the wise man or a man of understanding will draw it out. We don't just file it away. We actually use that wisdom. We actually use that counsel. And that's what all of this instruction is for us to use it. It doesn't do us any good to hear it and not use it. Think about going to church. How much have we heard in all the years of going to church, of preaching, of the Bible, of God's standards and God's principles being communicated to us, and it all went in, but do we apply it? Do we draw it out to use it? And that's what Solomon's saying. Don't just store it, use it. Verse 6, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. Tell everybody how good he is. But a faithful man, who can find? Somebody who actually lives up to it. A man of integrity. How hard is it to find somebody who just does it and doesn't talk about it? That's one of the things that social media has really destroyed is people just doing God's work without having to take a video of it or a picture of it and tell everybody how, look at me, look at what I'm doing. And you recall a few years ago, we contributed to the mission up in the Bronx for their Christmas giveaway. And the missionary, in an effort to report back to the churches that contributed, was doing a video. And one of the people in the neighborhood says, "You're doing that so you can show everybody how good you are. Why don't you just give a gift without having to tell everybody you gave a gift?" And so he quit reporting back about, you know, what they were doing. And that's the impression. I know that we don't have to keep it a secret, and we may tell people and report back that the apostles reported back to Jesus. But let's make sure that when we do something, we're not doing it just so people will see us doing it. He said, people love to tell you what they did, how good they are. Verse 7, a just man walketh in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. I told you about a fellow who was sharing with me that his father was an evangelist when he was young, growing up. His dad was an evangelist. And he said, I went to all lots of churches, revivals, camp meetings, all that kind of stuff. But he said, my dad was an honorable man, a man of integrity. But I met a lot of other people in that business that weren't. And it ruined him on church, because the only one he knew in church and, you know, ministry was his dad. He was the only man of integrity he knew among all those other people. Well, that's tragic. It really is. His children are blessed after him, it says. Verse 8, a king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. I'm sure you've read this week how now they've passed the law in California, or they're trying to pass the law. I don't recall if it's complete yet, that employees cannot confront shoplifters anymore out there. You can't even confront them. And they can just walk in and take what they want, walk out the door, and you can't say a word to them. And if I owned a business in California, it'd be moved by now. If there wasn't enough reason to get out of California. But that's, you know, those are the ideas, and it's probably in San Francisco, some great treasure like that. what are we doing? If we don't enforce it, we can't expect it. How can you expect people to pay for it when they know they could just walk out? And when the king sits in the throne of judgment, when people know that he's going to enforce the laws, it scatters away evil. But when you don't enforce the laws, then you know you get away with it, and you do what you want to do. So, you know, it's we understand, and I think it's actually I don't know if it's written or unwritten, but the sign says, you know, speed limit is 55. But most of us know or expect that we can get away with at least 10% of that, right? So we go up to 60. And if it's 70, then we're going to go up to 79. Not that I would, but I mean some people. Right? And so we know that you drive by, but you know, sometimes you're on the highway and you're driving and everybody else is driving, flying by, and you see the patrolman sitting over there, not stopping anybody. And so what do you say? Well, he's not enforcing it. And so you figure get away with it. But it says when the king sits there in the seat of judgment, when he's enforcing the law, all that stuff stops. And I know people would grumble and say, well, I was only doing, you know, 72. Yeah, but the speed limit's 70. And you broke the law, you broke the law. And I know you all think that's crazy, don't you? You ought to be able to get away with something. But when the king sits in judgment, what's enforced is what you can expect. That's the point that Solomon's making here. Verse number 26. A wise king scattereth the wicked and bringeth the wheel over them. A wise king. Look, a wise king is going to enforce the law. What does this mean to bring a wheel over them? It means to crush them. You know, they use those wheels to crush things. The animal walks around, just turns that wheel, grinds it. That's what he's talking about. A wise king enforces the law. People say, well, I see things in the Bible and it's so extreme. No, but God was teaching them, enforce the law. You know, if we had a law that really penalized people for shoplifting, we wouldn't have to worry about people shoplifting. And then we wouldn't have to worry about the employees confronting them, because people wouldn't do it. But when they know they can get away with it, what are they going to do? And so the further we get away from enforcing the law, the worse it's going to get in our society. But if we would be extreme in our judgment and our enforcement of the law, then we'd break it. We'd knock it out. At least that's what Solomon's suggesting here. Verse number 10. Diverse weights and diverse measures. Both of them are like an abomination to the Lord. Now, I know we're not used to that, but the weights that they would use to justify their purchases or whatever, they could use light weights if they wanted it to be less, and they could use heavier weights if they wanted it to be more. And so they would depend on how much the shopkeeper wanted to cheat as to which measurements, what weights he was going to use. And the Bible says that's an abomination to God. Verse 23 says the same thing. Diverse weights are an abomination to the Lord. A false balance is not good. But there were people who were cheating others in business. If we can't have confidence in the system and the weights, then what can we have confidence in? And that's what Solomon's saying. If you're a cheater, it's an abomination to God. Don't cheat. Verse 11, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure, whether it be right. Even a child. How many of us ever, don't raise your hand on this, how many of us ever met bad kids? Right? Or how many of us ever had great kids? Man, that kid is just wonderful. Even children are known. Well, if children are known by their behavior, don't you know adults are too? Our reputation is built on what we do. It reflects our actions. He says in verse 12, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. Think about that, the hearing ear. And those of you who have struggles with your hearing, you know, you remember those times when you could hear well, and man, you really appreciate that and miss it. Miss the ability to hear what's going on. And vision, right? Vision is a big thing, to be able to see. It's getting bad. I need to go get some new glasses at some point, because used to be I could read it. Now I got to really get some good light to look at it, right? And think about it, though. Think of how long it did last in its perfect working order. And God designed that. That's what Solomon's saying. God designed that. And these are the features that we take for granted. But God designed them and they work. That's what's so wonderful about it. Verse 14. Oh, it is not, saith the buyer. When he has gone his way, then he boasteth. So, you know, I don't know if you've ever had a deal like this or somebody deal with you like that, but they say, oh, that car's not worth anything. That car's, you know, that's old, broke down. It's old, got too many miles on it, and maybe it's been in a, look, those lines are not straight. It's probably been in a crash, and that engine probably needs service. You don't have the service records. Oh, man, I don't know. I kind of feel like you're taking me for a ride on this. I don't really know if I should buy it. Well, maybe you take $500 less, and then you sell it to them, and they go, and they say, well, what a good deal I got on that car. Now, when it's selling time, negotiation time, it's nothing. Oh, that's no good. I can't believe. Oh, yuck. Man, I don't know if I'm going to buy this. And then they leave, and all of a sudden it was a good deal. And that's what Solomon said. You got to be able to be mindful of that. See, and this is the thing. If we read the Proverbs daily and have these thoughts in our mind, then when it comes to these situations, we can just laugh at it and just know, I'm being taken advantage of. I got to be careful what I'm dealing with. But it's just very practical knowledge. Verse 15, there is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Let me say again, you know, when God determined at Kadesh Barnea that those who are 20 years old and up would not make it to the promised land, he didn't just open the earth and swallow them up like he did on occasion, but he left them among the people. Why? Because there was still a whole lot those people could teach the next generation. We need it. Brother Ronnie came to me early on, and he said, Brother Derek, I don't know about working with the young people. I'm kind of old for that. I said, Brother Ronnie, we could get an 18-year-old in there to teach those kids, and they don't have any of the life knowledge that you've got. We need somebody to teach our children that has experienced life so that they will be prepared for what's ahead. And, you know, it's so important for us. So we look at those who are dying and spend some time, sit around, listen to them, and gather that information. I think of Aunt Nan, died at 102. And I would just sit there with a notepad and let her talk, and I would just write stuff down. And she would just tell me all kinds of stories about the old days. And we're talking about, you know, she was born in 1906. And so she had seen a lot of life in 102 years. It's such a treasure to listen to people of greater knowledge speak to us, of greater years speak to us. The lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Verse 16, take his garment that is surety for a stranger. Take a pledge of him for a strange woman. What he's saying is, make sure you have some evidence of agreements and contracts. Make sure you have evidence. How many of us have ever forgotten something we told somebody or agreed to do? Right? We even forget. And so you say, well, now we just sign the paper. Yeah, but signing the paper, even that, you might look at and go, well, I don't know, because my signature doesn't look exactly the same every time. And so we need to have some kind of surety. Go back to the book of Ruth, and what did they exchange? Shoe. Here's a shoe off my foot. Well, everybody knew that was his shoe. And so when he say, hey, he sold the land to me, here's his shoe to prove it, everybody knew, okay, that was true. See, take a piece of clothing, he says. You know, prove that you were there. Prove that the deal was made. Prove that they were in agreement. And it seems kind of silly to us, but how many times have contracts come under question or agreements then later said, no, that's not what I agreed to. I sometimes wish I had everything recorded. Just walk around with a camera all the time. And people say, well, I didn't say that. Well, actually, you did. And, you know, people make a commitment to you. It's good to have some evidence. Verse 17, bread of the seed is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. So when we tell a lie, we might think it worked out pretty good in our situation. But later, it's hard to swallow. That's what he's saying. You know, lies are destructive. The bread of deceit. We may feel like we've enjoyed getting away with something by deceiving someone. But he says later, it's going to be hard to swallow. A mouthful of gravel is the way he puts it. It has consequences. Verse 18, every purpose is established by counsel. With good advice, make war. So what's he saying? He's saying we need to make sure we have people that we trust in to talk to. I appreciate people that come to me and give me advice. I appreciate people I can go to and ask advice. And I hope you have people like that in your life. You know, we don't always do what they think we should, but we need to hear different points of view. And I've said before, you know, if everybody else has the same opinion, trust me, the world is not against you. Maybe you're wrong. If nobody else believes you, maybe you're wrong. You say, no, Pastor, I know I'm right. Okay, I can't argue with that. But if the whole world sees it differently, there is a chance that maybe you're wrong. All right, so have counselors. Have people who can counsel you and trust in those counselors. We need advice. Verse 22, say not thou, I will recompense evil. But wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. I'm sure none of us have ever wanted to get even with anybody, right? But I can tell you this, there's nothing more satisfying, I guess is the word, and I don't mean that in a bad way, than when our Father defends us. To know that our Father stepped in and took care of it. It just makes me feel safer when instead of dealing with it myself, I say, Father, will you take care of this? And he does. And I say, I know I can trust my Father. He takes care of me. It makes me feel safer to know that he has handled it and I didn't have to get in the middle of it and cause a problem. Let the Lord settle those who wrong you. Let the Lord deal with those situations. Verse 25, it is a snare to a man who devoureth that which is holy, and afterward, after vows, to make inquiry. So what's he saying? Before we make a commitment to God, and Jesus said this in the New Testament, he said, you know, before a man builds a tower, he's got to count the cost. A man halfway builds a tower and then runs out of money, everybody laughs at him because he didn't know what he was doing. So we got to count the cost before we commit. So many people make commitments to God. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about anything else. We're talking about God. When I commit to God something, and then afterward I think, you know, maybe I went too far. Maybe I said I'd do too much. Maybe I'm not willing to go as far with God. But he says, hold on a second. You already took that which was holy. You've already accepted what God promised, and now that God's given you what he said he'd give you, now you don't want to fulfill your side. That's what he's talking about. It is a snare. It is a trap when we take what God has offered us without considering the cost. Finally, in verse 29, and really this is just my favorite verse in the whole chapter, the glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is a gray head. It's like God wrote that verse just for me, isn't it? But, right, I know. Amen. Don't we all feel better now, don't we? But the point is this, as we read the Proverbs, and daily, I really encourage you to read daily, each one. So today, the 16th would be chapter 16 and on through the month, and every month, repeat that cycle, because it just gives us practical daily wisdom. Again, is it very spiritual? Most of it's not very spiritual. But it's useful. And Solomon pulled all this together. He said, let's put it all together so they can read it. And you know what God said? God said, let's put it in the Bible. Because people need this information. We've dealt with relationships. We've dealt with business. We've dealt with being on this side of business or that side of business. There's so much in there that will help us in life if we draw it out, if we use it. Father, we love you, and we're glad to be in your house tonight and be in your word tonight. And I pray that this short study has helped the one who asked and others also for the practical wisdom that you have provided. Lord, we want to serve you. We want to be a blessing to all those around us. And so help us to be good examples. Help us to be good leaders, not only in the church, but in the world, that people will see your light in us and look to us to find you. Forgive us our sins. Bring us back again. Dismiss us with your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.